Welcome back to another episode of Back Porch Theology. This is your host, Caleb Moore. Thanks for tuning in. This is where we shoot you straight, we talk to you like a man, and we want to equip you to take the humanist ideas of the day to the woodshed as we seek to exalt Christ as the King of the nation. And rest assured, here you're going to hear things that you would not be hearing on CNN or MSNBC. We'll tell you things like, if white privilege was really such a thing, then guys like me would be the first ones picked on the basketball court. Be sure to sit tight, hang loose, unbuckle your belt for a little bit, relax, because you are officially on my back porch. All right, everybody, you're on my back porch, and if you know anything about hanging out on the Back Porch Theology podcast, our main paradigm that we're always going to come at issues with is the fact that Christ is King. The Bible is our standard for truth, for what is right, our ethics, our metaphysic on how we understand reality, and how we understand truth or knowledge, our epistemology. Okay, so Christ is King. His word is forever settled in the heavens. And if you want to put down every idea that is false, and there's a lot of it out there in the streets these days, you are going to need to be equipped with Scripture to do so. So last episode, we talked a little bit about logic, about how logic, rightly applied and used, is actually a gift of God. It's a part of creational revelation, or natural law, natural creation, or natural revelation, rather. It is God's gift to us. Our problem, however, is that we have sin in our brains. And so when we are thinking illogically, or when our opponents are thinking foolishly, and I don't mean that as an insult, but rather the way the Bible refers to folks as fools is when they refuse to believe the truth that God has said, then we need to be equipped to use logic to help them to reason out of the haze that they're in and come to the light. We want them to come to our side. And that's actually how we are to win the battle, the cultural war that we're in right now, is we want to persuade and actually convert people to put their atheism aside, to lay it down at the cross of Jesus Christ and actually become Christians. We want them not to just think like conservatives, because like we've talked about on previous episodes, which, shameless plug, please go back and enjoy the last, oh, I don't know, 5-6 months of great episodes that we have for you on Back Porch Theology. My wife and I sat down on our kitchen tabletop theology, kitchen countertop theology episode, and talked a little bit about how conservatism is not enough. All right, so we want actually the conservatives to not just be conservatives. We like conservatives if they're fighting to conserve the Constitution, our Christian Constitution, to our Christian nation. We like that. That's a good thing. But that's not enough. We want to persuade people to be Christian constitutionalists, which means we understand the Constitution in light of Scripture. So as a quick little side note, let's talk about the First Amendment for a second, shall we? The First Amendment, the freedom of religion, the freedom to assemble, the freedom of speech. Did you know that our founders, being most of them explicitly Christian men, Protestants in the main, they did not intend for the First Amendment of the Constitution to give Muslims, to give Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses or Christian Science folks the right to build churches. Freedom of religion, as enumerated by folks like Joseph Story, who was the original Supreme Court Justice, who is the single man most responsible for the phrasing and the writing of the First Amendment, said, quote, "The real object of the First Amendment was not to countenance, much less to advance, Mohammedism or Judaism or infidelity by prostrating Christianity, but rather to exclude all rivalry among Christian sects or denominations, and to prevent any national ecclesiastical patronage of the national government, end quote.
Now, I can see probably some of your heads are spinning. Now, think about that for a minute. That's what we call on the back porch a mic drop. Okay, so Muslims, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, any other religion that is not Christian does not have the constitutional or, obviously, the biblical right to be in existence. Now, that is one that you need to stick in your ammo pouch and keep at the ready. So when we are putting every argument under the feet of Christ because we want to see the nations converted, we want to see our family members, our neighbors, our coworkers converted to Christ, we want them to join our side, the winning side. Because remember, Christ is King, and our declaration needs to be, now come quietly and join the ranks, lay down your arms and become one of us. We need to be prepared to use scripture, like so in this case of the First Amendment, which correlates with the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And our Christian founders, what did they codify in the First Amendment? They said freedom of religion, which means in today's language, today's verbiage and parlance, freedom of Christian denomination only. Mic drop. Bam. So just as another side note, the purpose of the First Amendment was to guarantee that the government was not going to back any single one Christian denomination, because that was what our Christian founders left over in Anglican England. So yes, we're going to continue to bring up the founders, the founding fathers. We're going to bring up history on a regular basis because we want to use history as it was intended. We want to have a Christian philosophy of history, which having Christ and the expansion of his kingdom as our central paradigm, as our central focus in having a philosophy of history. We want to have that at the ready in our ammo box, ready to use. We also obviously want to use scripture first and foremost. We also want to be able to use logic, like we talked about last time, of thinking biblically or thinking clearly, right? We want to purge sin and this unclear, muddled thinking out of our brains as we discuss issues with people and go to the mat over. We want to use every single weapon in our arsenal. We want to be able to answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes, like Proverbs says. And we also want to know when to not answer a fool according to his folly, lest we be like him. We want to be able to use sarcasm, like the prophets of the Old Testament did, and even Christ did, to reduce arguments down to the folly that they are, that are untrue, that are foolish. We want to use history. We want to use logic. We want to use scripture first and foremost. That's really our ace in the sleeve. That's our bazooka waiting in the trunk, right? But we also want to be able to argue from what is beautiful. And that's the meat and potatoes of this episode of Back Porch Theology.
All right, so we got all the pleasantries out of the way, and it's actually meat and potato time. All right, so we're going to talk about arguing for our positions from beauty. Okay, so historically, there are three what's known as the transcendentals, or the transcendental realities. The transcendentals are the three things that philosophy is concerned to plumb the depths of, we might say. So truth, goodness, and beauty. And these are kind of our modes of thinking when we're reasoning out ethics, metaphysics, and epistemology. Remember, ethics, what is right and wrong. Metaphysics, the study of reality, what is real, what is false. And epistemology, how we know what we know.
All right, so usually we argue from truth, or at least I do. All right, so let's pick an easy one. And we're also not going to just pick an easy one, but we're also going to look at a topic that is one of the biggest ones of our day. So when a house is burning down, you want to go to the flames that are burning the brightest, the hottest, and the highest. And make no mistake about it, folks on the back porch with me, America's burning down right now, and we are the only ones, Christians are the only ones that can put out the flames, because we have the water of life, right? We've got the Word of God, we've got the Holy Spirit, and we've got God on our side. So, one of the biggest and brightest and hottest flames that are burning down our country right now is homosexuality. Homosexuality, the whole lesbian, queer, bisexual, transsexual, plus AA, quote-unquote community issue, the transgender nonsense, the sexual perversions, all the crazy sexual stuff is burning down the house. It's one of the main things that's burning down the house. So if we wanted to argue from truth, which should always be a part of the discussion, is we would say, well, let's look at the very beginning when God created the earth and he created mankind. He, as the old adage goes, he did not create Adam and Steve. No, he created Adam and Eve, right? And all throughout the Old Testament, we have instances of God blessing man and woman. We have God's self-attesting testimony that when he brought Eve to Adam, he blessed their union, gave them offspring. And that's actually one of the ways we know that God has blessed man and woman being united together, is that it's a fruitful union, right? So there's actually offspring that come from that union. Homosexuality and every other sexual perversion does not create offspring, no matter how hard the Dr. Frankensteins of the world want to make it happen. And then continuing on the line of truth, if we wanted to argue by way of negative example, we'd say, look, in the first book of the Bible, we have a city that gave itself over to homosexuality, Sodom and Gomorrah. What did God do to that city? Well, he flattened it. He put it in the dustbin of history, under the feet of Christ, but he used fire and brimstone to do it. So, not God's blessing. All right, so arguing from truth, we could go to the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. And every sexual perversion is included in that. We could go to the case laws in the Old Testament where God actually institutes the capital punishment for public displays of homosexuality, bestiality, and the like. So that's if we're arguing from a place of truth, right? So, but if we're, and goodness, because every other sexual union does not produce offspring. It's not good. No matter how much they want to pretend like they're happy and that it's good, it's not good. So if we're arguing from beauty, let's go to Psalm 128. 128 says, blessed is every man who fears the Lord, who walks in God's ways. He shall eat the fruit of his labor of his hands. He shall be blessed, and it will be well with him. His wife will be like a fruitful vine within the house. His children will be like olive shoots around the table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. Okay, so God pronounces his blessing on the household that fears him, of the husband, of the father, of the head of the household that fears him. And what does he say about the wife? That she'll be like a fruitful vine in the house, and the children will be like olive branches around the table. Those are good things. Those are things producing life, productivity, joy, happiness. Olive branches indicate healing. God paints for us in Psalm 128 a picture of beauty. not just of it starts off with commandment, with truth. Blessed is every man who fears the Lord, who walks in God's commandments, walks in God's ways. But the picture that God paints, the promises, the blessings that God pours out on those who obey Him and who fear Him and walk in His ways, that's a beautiful picture, right? So me, for example, in my neighborhood, I have neighbors across the street that have gay pride, sodomite pride flags hanging up in their house or on their tree most of the year. Now, when they look over at my house and they see me interacting with my family, they should see my family as the happiest family on the block. Again, we're arguing from beauty. And then they should be able to look at their house and say, you know, we don't have what the Moores have. We don't have what that guy has over there. We want what they have. And this is the flow of life that God says is going to happen if we obey Him. In 1 Peter 3:15, it says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you as a Christian. Right? So we should be living our lives in such a way that produces so much joy because we're obeying the truth of God, that we have His goodness in our life, and it produces beauty in our life. So much so that other people come up to us and say, what is it about you? Why are you so blessed? Why are you so joyful? Look at my life. My life's falling to pieces right now. Look at the country. It's tearing itself apart with strife, with hatred, with fear, coronavirus, the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, why are you so joyful? Why do you have such a great life? And we give glory to God and we persuade people to join our side, to become Christians, to abandon their sin and to start to follow Christ. And actually God says this is how it's going to be for the nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, right? It says in Deuteronomy 4 that when a nation obeys God's commandments, the surrounding nations will flock to that nation and say, tell us about this God you serve and these wonderful laws that He gives you. That's the prescription. That's what God says He will do when we as individuals, as families, and as nations obey Him. He's going to pour out His blessing on us. He's going to pour out beauty in our lives, so much so that other people want what we have. And then we can bring them to Christ. So at the end of the day, one of the best arguments to abandon homosexuality and all other manners of sin should be the smile on our wives and our children's faces. Because we as men and as heads of households are ruling our homes and our domains in the fear of the Lord. And the results, is something beautiful. Well, that's all for this time, folks. Thanks for hanging out with me on the back porch. Be sure to share the podcast, rate, review it, subscribe it, pass it around like hotcakes. And until next time, keep your hand to the plow, remain steadfast, and always abound in the work of the Lord. We'll catch you next time.